So, thanks for coming to this. I'm happy to see people are interested in the Boston game industry. I guess I'll just open this by sort of asking Jeff, if you can sit here, and then Eitan, you can sit.
Bring the chair, I'm an MIT guy.
Right, my arrow. So,
okay, before I get interrupted,
So, Boston game industry, if you guys don't know me, I'm Darius Kazemi. In addition to putting this together, I also help out on the Boston Postmortem Committee, that's the IGDA chapter. For those of you who don't know, our IGDA chapter here has the biggest meetings, basically out of any in the world, I think. Certainly if you count number of people and times per year the meeting is held. Over the course of a year, we have way more attendance than any other chapter. There are other chapters that have bigger meetings, but they're like two or three times a year. Like Austin has big meetings of like 300 people, but like three times a year. So our community here is actually very, very tight, our community of developers, and that's one of the reasons why I really like making games here in Boston. It's also kind of cool that the city is sort of configured such that there's a lot of companies here in Cambridge. You know, my office is in Central Square, so between like GamerDNA and Demiurge and Harmonix and us, it's sort of like I like being back in college again. I can't go out anywhere without like seeing other game developers that I know. You know, it's pretty cool. So for the last two or three years, I personally have been kind of working a lot to sort of like get the postmortem up to a place where it's like, you know, well attended and happens every month and we get great speakers. And I'm pretty satisfied with where it is right now. I think if it got any bigger, it would be like super, you know, unwieldy, or you have to like pay for a big meeting hall or something like that. I like where it is right now. If you guys don't, let me know.
Keep it for yourself.
I don't work hard for that.
Tell us how many hours you're willing to dedicate.
Yeah, exactly. Join the committee. feel free to like, as with all these sessions here, pretty much, feel free to like. But I'm sort of left wondering, you know, what next for Boston, right? I mean, so the question is like, where do we want Boston to be as a game hub? Do we want it to be a big center? I mean, it already is a big center of game development. It's the biggest one on at least the east coast of the U.S., certainly. Montreal has more developers than we do. I think they have, 3,000, and we have, 1,500 or something like that? Yeah, so they've got about double developers than we do, although our games are bigger than theirs. But, that's sort of like the greater Boston area, but that doesn't include, I don't think that includes like all of New England. I think it probably includes
Providence, New Hampshire, New Hampshire and Massachusetts is what we draw from.
Yeah, so, and we'll hopefully have better numbers from the IGDA when they sort of like get all their membership stuff together, at least in terms of IGDA members. IGDA members do not comprise all game developers, but it's a good starting point at least for certain measures. But, do we want Boston to like grow a lot? There are risks with growth in addition to advantages. Obviously, I want more game developers here. I'd love to have more game companies here. On the other hand, when you get to a certain size, it's like, you get EA, kind of on these things, like you did in Montreal. It's like, oh, wow, Ubisoft is doing really great. Let's set up shop across the street from them and poach all the talent. And, and now we have these two big companies. Yeah, it's just sort of, and that's cool. Montreal's a cool place to make games. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to make games in Montreal, and then you have cities like Seattle, which are basically dominated by Microsoft, and then there's a few other companies. Gas Power, Valve. Yeah, Valve is there too, but again, Valve came from Microsoft, right? Valve was effectively a bunch of ex-Microsoft guys, right? So, but But still, culturally, Seattle is just dominated by Microsoft. I mean, that's how it is across all tech and PO.
Yes.
You've got cultures like San Francisco. People out here assume that San Francisco would have like the most cohesive developer community, but in fact, they've been struggling. Just this month, they haven't had chapter meetings for years out there. Just this month, they had their first successful meeting in forever, and they had 80 people show up. To the meeting.
So I moved back from San Francisco. That's not entirely true. It's true that the IGDA chapter had languished for a little while. There was also a meetup, which was separate,
yes.
And that got that got some pretty good attendance. So,
what?
No, this is just an alarm. This is pizza. Okay. Important alarm for all of you. It's not what you would expect from San Francisco. When I sort of imagine what it would be like, I imagine like, oh man, that's where all the game companies are in the Bay Area. I'm sure they have like, fucking Lollapalooza, once a year.
It's interesting though, because I mean, like, Linden Lab has, major offices in San Francisco, and I spent a month out there last year, and it's very interesting because there's a lot of really cool people in San Francisco. There's also a bunch of community.
Yes. Lots of great talent, lots of awesome companies, but yeah, there's not too much intercompany interaction. It's really, the EA folks like tend to stay, within the bounds of EA out there, at least the ones that I've talked to. Especially LA has a better development community than San Francisco.
Yeah, LA is really, really solid.
Yeah.
Because they get a lot of all the various surrounding areas. Because there's LA and there's all of,
And it's so weird because you think because they were spread out, it wouldn't be like that, right?
So actually a lot of people, the company I work for now, their name's Studios, and there's something we can talk about more later, but almost my entire company is not local, and they almost all came from San Diego, or they pretty much all came from San Diego and LA. And the LA one in particular, it's almost always sponsored, and it's almost always sponsored with like a lot of stuff. Hey, free open bar, like once a month, will get a lot of people. So there's reasons that it's as strong as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest,
sponsorship being a big
one. The first step to getting the postmortem, back on its feet was making sure we had awesome speakers, which drew out, some people more and more every month, and then we get a critical mass where all of a sudden it makes sense for people to start sponsoring. And then once you get the sponsorship brings more sponsorship. That's how that works. I'd be curious to come back later, though, Christian, and ask you how those guys in San Diego and LA are finding the Boston area.
I was just going ahead and quantify how strong a community is outside of an IGBA meeting.
Yeah, well, I talk to people. I do a lot of travel. I just talk to people. Every time I go to a city for business and I'm with a client or something, whoever I meet, I'll ask, like, hey, do you know so-and-so at this other company that's down the street? And they'll be like, no. And sometimes they'll be like, there's another game company down the street? Like, that's a red flag.
I've had friends who have worked in Boston and moved to Vancouver or San Francisco and say, comparatively, Boston is like a little cul-de-sac, and there's not a lot of maybe national communication between Boston and other coasts. They'll kind of say this with like derision, like, oh, Vancouver's so much better. There's not a lot of communication. And I don't know if that's true or not because I haven't worked in Vancouver, but it seems like a very difficult thing to quantify.
Yeah, I mean, two things. One is I've seen when you talk to people who aren't from Boston, and ask them their impression of Boston, and sometimes it's like, you guys have game developers in Boston?
Yeah.
The assumption is that New York's way bigger. And things like that. So that's an interesting thing, and maybe one of the things that we could think about for Boston is trying to figure out how we make a bigger splash.
And that's one of the reasons I'm doing this, right? We're gonna have a bunch of press after this, I'm encouraging everybody to take notes at all their sessions, please. And then email your notes to me, or even just like scan them and I'll transcribe them. It's fine, I'll do that. But But, you know, that's one of the things I want to do here, and just, like, make all that material available, and then other developers see, oh, there was this little conference thing that happened on here. There must be developers if they can get, you know, 45 people from, you know, 15 different companies in one room, you know. So
one of the other things that is interesting is, you know, Hiawatha Bray writes a lot of columns about us. Well, not a lot.
He's a Boston Globe columnist,
technology columnist, and we've been struggling with his perception of the Boston game industry for like 5 years now, because he's firmly of the belief that until we have a major publisher with a major office in Boston, we're not real as a community. And he's propagated that belief in a lot of articles. So I kind of wanted to get the sense of...
Which is sort of ridiculous, when you look at the massive hit AAA titles we've had released in the last couple of years.
I think that's probably a national view. That's not just the Globe. I don't want to be dismissive towards this meeting or anything like IGA stuff and so on, but it seems like it's mostly more indie developers who are attending that, which I think is really cool, but from like a national perspective, it's like, oh, there's a whole team from EA here and a whole team from
EA. I mean, it depends on what you mean by indie. I mean, at Postmortem, I wouldn't say it's mostly one or two man shops. I'd say mostly we have folks from Harmonix, we have folks from, lots of folks from Rockstar, you know, sometimes people from 2K Boss, other companies, so Turbine, lots of folks from Turbine showing up.
Well, I wonder if it would help to get more, company support, sort of, or press through those larger companies who have more national offices, like, say, you know, 2K Boston or Harmonix is kind of drumming up this on a more national level. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, I mean,
let me take it up that some more.
Okay, sure.
Coming from Singapore, where we have a lot of the big publisher presence, like Ubisoft and EA, one thing that I have to note is that having those companies there don't necessarily be populated on people attending meetings, because a lot of them are actually prevented from talking to other companies.
Yeah.
So they can't even go. They're not even allowed to go.
That was actually an interesting, I'll say that it's sort of well known that Take-Two, particularly Rockstar, is like they don't speak in conferences and that kind of thing. Between when Mad Dog was transitioning into Rockstar, it was like, oh, I can't, we can't really talk about our company stuff anymore. We can talk about, unrelated stuff. We're still happy to talk, but we can't speak about professional work because of corporate policy.
I'm kind of embarrassed. I mean, there were a bunch of Rockstar people on the list, and nobody else was sort of up.
I haven't seen anybody here yet. Yeah.
Something I wondered about to begin with was, Irrational. When Irrational was both Irrational, like, I almost never saw anyone at Postmortem from Irrational, which is odd, because they're not like they're the furthest company that was showing up regularly, and it's not like they're the smallest one either. So every once in a while there are those outliers. I mean, I'm sure the same thing exists in any sort of.
Well, that was true for Turbine for a while too.
It was true for Turbine. And then when I started working at Turbine, then I was like, hey, everybody, come and go to my thing. Like, it's often a matter of just finding one evangelist at a company to like remember to ping those companies to staff list. You know, talk to people at lunch and just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to Postmortem tonight. You should totally come. I'll give you a ride. You know, so. So that's often, we've had companies that have been affected. I mean, we've had a lot of companies that have been affected no-shows for long periods of time, and then something happens and the switch is flipped and all of a sudden.
So we really need a Boston game now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, so,
and you're wearing a shirt.
That's what all these, like, harebrained schemes and conferences and, like, the Boston Game Jam 2 years ago and all that stuff, like, I'm just trying to, like, hook up crazy stuff that will get Boston Game Jam. What is the next Boston Game Jam? I don't know, maybe the next Boston Game Jam is what's next.
Well, there's a physics jam for all these next weekend.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Pitch on the OLPC thing. They're not just looking for people to go and be on the team to make the game. if you're interested, like, especially the people here, if you want to go and like, talk about some aspect of game development, or like mentor like 3 or 4 teams, just like float around, just even for like half of a day and talk to people, give them advice, all these people would love that.
Huh. What are they doing next week? Because they haven't really publicized that at all, for at least I haven't.
Well, he sent me an email yesterday saying, please put this on blog.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So finally got it back to people, because I was waiting for emails as well.
It was slow. I think they have like kind of one guy organizing
it.
It's
SJ and he's...
Well,
yeah.
SJ is the guy
Christian, did you want to like talk about how your fellow 38 guys are acting?
So it's interesting because, couple of things. One was, 38 Studios is a relatively new company that we're closing on 2 years now, and a lot of people still didn't realize they exist, and we're already like the, I don't, in terms of size, it's...
How many are you?
56.
Yeah, so you're probably like the fifth biggest or something.
Yeah. And it's funny because like, a lot of people still, we had a list of product devs, so people don't even know, you know, and we're not going through for years. So, you know, don't really know.
MMO development, woo!
Yeah. That's awesome. In any case, it's interesting because the way the company was founded and formed, it was literally Per Schilling, who a lot of people here know, it was a big AirQuest 2 guy, he used to be over with the AirQuest development team, and he said, hey, I want to run a company, you know, saw some friends of his, said, who are the people that you know, that if you could hire anyone, you could have people hire. And so basically wrote a list, and pretty much went and tried to go to all these, like an initial group of like 10 people or so, and said, you know, would you like to come, you know, I'm going to start a company. And they were almost all EverQuest 2, or EverQuest, Sony Online Entertainment, and a couple people from EALA. And what happened was, a bunch of them said yes, came out. And that formed the initial core team. The thing is that as company's grown, it's been almost largely due to, hey, I know another guy I used to work with that would be awesome, just be calling in insert, you know, job title here person. And the company's grown in that way. Given that, the company's probably about one-third ex-ELA, one-third ex-Sony Online Entertainment, and one-third everyone else. There's a couple people from, and then I'm actually one of the other everyone else. I kind of came in a very odd way compared to everyone else. And there's a couple people from formerly from Turbine, a couple people from, formerly from Iron Lore. There's me from formerly EA and Harmonix and some other places and MIT. But given that, the company is all, is the vast majority of it, almost all of it, it seems like a lot of time, is from the West Coast. So it's basically a brand new game company that sprouted up out of nowhere, from no one around here almost. I'm given that I'm one of the few people from around here that's been right here in a while, but I'm always pushing, you know, people to become more active in the local scene, also trying to, you know, put out, you know, feelers for people locally. The two big things, so there's a couple of things I've noticed. One is that people really hate the weather a lot. So, I mean, that is honestly a major source of issue, like a major issue for a lot of people that I was kind of surprised at.
And honestly, that's one thing when I'm talking to other developers, it's like, come to Boston, it's awesome, unless you don't like the cold or the snow, and then actually you probably shouldn't come here because I don't want you to come here. Like,
yeah. but that's actually something that, like, I was shocked at how much people really bother people. That, and also there just was not a perception that there was a big game community in Boston. There just wasn't, like, because people are in LA, San Francisco, San Diego, and there's tons of game companies everywhere, and they don't really know of anything out in Boston area, so they don't think of it as being sort of like Boston, as like a game club or anything like that.
I will say one of the things that made me happy about 2K Boston name change was that it does get Boston out there,
yeah.
Like Bioshock Boston. You know?
Right, and that was actually a friend of mine that I work with. When New England, when Mad Dog became Rockstar New England,
yeah.
He goes, "Oh, okay, well, maybe there's actually something out here." And I'm like, "It's a name change." You know? there is a very strong perception that there's just nothing here compared
yeah.
to. Well, I heard I was at a meeting with the city of Boston because
yeah.
the city of Boston
yeah.
is actually interested in trying. You know, the guy from the state, you know, not coming up with names, is trying to do industry specific meetings with groups of, you know, different kind of industries, and they wanted to have this meeting with the creative industries in Boston. And they made a real point of getting associated with the game community in Boston. One of the people at the Boston Redevelopment Authority has known about us post-mortem for a long time, and she's been kind of working with us. And so she made sure that several representatives of the Boston game industry were at that meeting. And one of the things we talked about was, I think the CFO for Turbine was there, you know, saying that, yeah, we have a problem with recruiting when we try to recruit people from the West Coast because they don't think there's a game development community in Boston.
And
we need to be better with
it. And furthermore, beyond that, I mean, it is worth saying, and I don't want to, you know, without anything here, it is worth noting that a lot of game companies, there is a lot of game companies around here, but a lot of them are smaller companies doing like educational games, they're doing like mobile games, they just don't have the like the presence, the visual presence, you know, as far as the industry goes, you know, like, or even games, like, I mean, companies just like Bluefang, I mean, it's been here for, you know, forever now, but it's comparatively a small company compared to most other places. So it's that's something I definitely noticed. People definitely felt like there wasn't much out here in that respect. And it's been kind of odd as a company, you know, now that's almost entirely transplants, the way we've grown. We're actually, you know, so the big things I've been pushing is we'll come out to those meetings. They were kind of, a lot of them were kind of underwhelmed with the meetings initially when they first came, to be completely honest. Largely just because they're used to very, very big meetings that are food funded and all sorts of other stuff from LA, San Diego, San Jose, and places like that. But they also were very, very surprised just like the number of people there, given that they thought there was something here. So it was you know, two sides of that.
Yeah. I mean, so our community here. So we saw the first problem that we have a community, right? But the other problems are, you know, what's the perception of that community? Is that perception true? And, you know, do we encourage the community to change in certain ways if the perceptions are negative and true? I mean, I don't, like, do we want, so first of all, like, how do we get the word out there that Boston has a community, right? I mean, there are a couple of good things already, right? If you search Boston Game Development, you come up with the postmortem site, and you can see, you know, oh, we have all these speakers, you know, you can go to the company's page, and we have a list of all the Boston area companies and that kind of thing. So there's that. If you're curious, most people aren't even curious, but dismissive. There's also holding events like this and Boston Game Jam, and you know, so like Boston Game Jam was nice because we did a postmortem of that at GDC, so we got like hundreds of developers got to see the developers in Boston do cool things. Obviously, continuing to crank out, you know, well-regarded games is another way, assuming that people make that connection. A lot of people are like, Harmonix is in Boston, and like, well, thank you, Cambridge, but I
want to jump in with a couple.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'm going to take a contrarian view on a few things. You know, I think there's a general sentiment here to almost be dismissive of things like the big name companies in the area somehow don't matter. Well, guess what? That's huge. I mean, that is actually really important. There's no healthy business ecosystem that exists without the big companies as part of that ecosystem. And it's just a fact that we don't really have, we don't have many world-beating successes. In fact, I think you'd have to, I don't know that there is one besides Harmonix right now. I think that's the only one you can see. Okay, they built a $1 billion business in the local area around games. I mean, that's a huge difference from Silicon Valley. So at the same time, we have massive innovation here. I mean, the academic infrastructure, the research institutions, the type of small startups that are getting created are just as good here as they are anywhere else. So it parallels in some way what happens with web technology, and our company straddles both the game industry and the web type stuff of this ilk that happens in the same area. So I kind of get exposure to both and get a lot more pattern recognition on the website. So I just want to ask by a quick show of hands, like, who here has ever been to like a web innovators group meeting? Or, okay, well, so for starters, go to the next web innovators meeting, even if you don't care about the web and it's not that interesting to you, which it should be because web is where you're going
to
distribute
your
games.
Where would you go to find out about those meetings? Is there a web?
Go to Google and enter a web innovators group, Cambridge.
Right. So then there's no clearinghouse blog like the Boston Post more.
There is. There's a web innovators group. I think it's webinnovatorsgroup.com is the blog.
Because I know web is always a specific event, but do they promote other events too?
The point I'm getting at is Webino Group, you know, Matt Boston has long lived with being kind of the second fiddle to Silicon Valley as far as the web industry is concerned.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, there's a huge and vibrant web community here. If you go to a Web Innovators Group meeting, you will see on average 700 people filling a Royal Sonesta Ballroom, in which there's presentations given on cool new red stuff. And I just think that would be a good learning experience here for anyone who's interested in kind of taking the community aspect of the game industry here to the next level. Because I think, frankly, we do need to take it to that next level. I mean, the Skellig is awesome, but we need something kind of beyond
that. One of the things that I think the Skellig is a great scope for, like, monthly meetings, but I do think that it'd be great to once or twice a year have something really big. I mean, one of the things that I want to do with this thing is make it bigger every year.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4 years down the line, have it with, like, you know, 500, 600 people, you know, make it, you know, actually incorporate this thing, you know, put it all, you know, it wouldn't be a gambit, don't worry.
I mean, I would talk to David Beisel, who was the guy who started Web Innovator, and just ask him, you know, how did he pull this off? I think it was started not unlike this, where it was small. They started with 30, 40 people who didn't know why they were there, showed up, and listened to some stuff.
Barcamp Boston this year, which is another web thing that happened, which is really cool, and it's what this is structured around, was about 200, 250 people, I think. And they did it pretty much the same way we're doing it right now. It scales up to about 200 or so people, assuming you have sponsors. So
there's some other general technology community stuff that I think
Open Coffee.
We could intersect with. Open Coffee is sort of a little small intimate thing, so good to participate in. But I'm also thinking of, like, there's this thing that's held every few months called Tech Cocktail. Have you been to one of those?
I've heard about that.
So Tech Cocktail, literally, the tickets sell out within hours. Seriously, within hours. You actually have to know that they're about to announce it so that you can get a ticket. And they get 500 people to show up at Tequila Ring. And it's a local, it's not just web, it's any technology company. There's never any game industry presence there at all. I mean, you'll find like one random harmonics guy who ended up there because how can you not run into a harmonics person in this area? They, you know, other than that, there's no game industry presence. There wouldn't be an awareness there if the game industry was even relevant.
Good point. I want to keep the discussion moving, Philip. So where do we want this community to be? Like I want to hear from you guys. Like, what do you want? Like, do you want to see, like, a big publisher come in and, like, set up shop? Like, if you want to, I mean, that'd be equal if you want to.
Well, here's just one thing we might want to consider. PAX is not decided on a location.
Right, and I'm actually seeking a PAX, and I'm going to talk to the organizer while I'm out there, and that's sort of in, like, my, like back pocket, is, like, actually can in Boston or something.
I'm one of the things that I think is huge here is the education community.
Yeah.
The fact that we have, you know, not only just general powerful education community here, but the fact that we have a couple of leading game development programs in the world in the area is I think really important. And I think it's been very important for the Boston Post Mortem Group to nurture the game community, the game education community and the students. Every once in a while we get some, you know, chatter that, well, some of the pros don't show up because they don't, like, they harass the students. But
honestly, when we look at our numbers, we're like 25% students.
So we don't have our numbers?
No, we haven't. We really should. We should publish, like, a fact, right? Like, fact about the Boston Post-Mortem. You know, like, myths, right? It's all students. Well, no, it's not. It's only 25% students, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, it's all indies. No, it's actually not. Half our people are from, like, major campus studios or whatever. So that'd be really helpful to just get those numbers.
Take those numbers with harmonic sponsors.
Yeah, right. and I just wanted to remind me, a year or two ago in Ostetten, we had a conference here, the Powering Up. It was hosted by the City of Boston.
Yeah.
It was about how do you sponsor the industry here. Doug Church gave a great keynote where he said that basically, because Doug was here in Boston for a long time when he was a looking glass at MIT, and he said, you know, you should latch on to the education thing. Like, even though it's considered by some to be a weakness, we should make it a strength. And also, it's about Boston becoming awesome in its own right and not being the next Montreal, the next LA, the next San Francisco. It's about figuring out what we're about and then and then focusing on that, and making that work. I'll call on people who haven't spoken. So I guess Andy and Ken. I just wanted to actually ask, aside from obviously Genda, what are the education programs in the area that are oriented?
WPI has their interactive media and game development program. There's Genda, there's Northeastern has what's their program called? I mean, Kent does more.
I don't actually know what Northeastern program is called, but they do have an undergraduate major in game development. We have a CMS program here.
Campus is the pizza. Harvard's got Cyberwall.
Yeah, Harvard is interesting because Harvard is a very strong undergraduate game development community that doesn't have an academic leading place yet. But I think, you know, that as other schools drive that community, that'll be really interesting. Champlain College in Vermont is only vaguely associated with what we do. They're actually closer to Montreal. But every once in a while, somebody will wander down from Champlain down here. And they have a really interesting undergraduate game development major.
Brown has some good video game stuff. And RISD doesn't necessarily have video game stuff, but they've got good odds.
Yeah. We had last year we had a sort of an academic summit in people interested in game development, and there were about 50 people there from mostly Boston area schools, many of whom actually Becker Junior College has a really strong associate's level program, and a lot of the other programs are looking at creating, you know, feeder kind of programs that would feed into the other. So there's a lot of teachers and professors pushing things at that meeting. Wentworth and Mass College of Fine Arts were sitting at the same table, like, across from each other, representatives from those two communities, realizing that they'd never spoken, but they were both interested in game development, one in technology and one in art. And so, you know, they agreed that they were going to talk and try to get some you know, shared program stuff together. So Worcester Polytech, though, is a very, very strong program. Darius and Darren both went.
Yeah, they did his mandate kind of tight on it.
Okay. NHTI also has a pretty strong program. And Emerson was starting a program in interactive media that the kids were trying to steer towards games, because they'd always show up at postmortem and say, we're trying to make games, but they keep making us do web stuff.
just a quick mention, Brookie, NSIP started a couple of video game classes.
Wasn't there a game jam at, like, Olin or something?
Yeah, oh, yes, in Olin, right. We had an OLPC game jam.
Oh, right.
So I was going to say, you know, I've heard a lot of shake kind of sentiment. Oh, I don't want to go to Boston Postmortem. There's a lot of students, and it's not very fun. And I hear this all over the place, and I don't know if that's one of the reasons why I haven't been going either. But, you know, what is the community doing, or any of the developers around here doing to try and get these students actually integrated into the community to hire them as interns or hire them when they graduate? I mean, obviously,
well,
yeah.
There's a lot of them.
The irony right now at Postmortem is there are so few people looking for a job that there are actually more people hiring right now.
Which is the complete flip side of how it was 4 years ago.
We're looking all over the country for people. We're going down to other states. Like, we have so many intelligent people in this area. Massachusetts is very, very brilliant, you know, and I don't know of a lot of people that are actually reaching out to these colleges and setting up programs. We're doing that now at Imagine Engine. We're working with WPI, and we're going down to Full Sail and other places like that to try and, you know, recruit and really get these people integrated into the community. But I don't know if other studios are doing the same, and how do you feel about that?
Maybe the problem is that Imagine Engine is doing that on their own, and then Rockfest was doing that on their own.
Right.
And they're not really a concerted effort. Postmortem is a concerted effort, but it's not. Maybe Imagine Engine and Rockfest need to tap those more than one.
Well, I mean, one thing we haven't really done, I've been privately advocating for a long time with individuals, hire interns, hire local, you know, we've got these great programs, a lot of students running around who actually are extremely talented. I just sent away one of our summer interns yesterday, and another one, you know, on Wednesday, but we've got really great work out of college students this year, and So we're seeing some of it, but we might think about one of the things that I actually had a conversation, I think with Varys last year, was that next February or so, maybe we ought to have very much internship-focused postmortem, and specifically about how are we going to do interns and to try to do some sort of, you know, speed dating kind of thing for you know, internship interviews. Maybe that's a good way to try to put those people together and allow, you know, you guys to sit at tables next to each other, talking to the same people and sharing some of those resources. I think it's a good model.
Okay, I'm going to come clean. I'm the associate director of the program at WPI, and I'm not supposed to be here as an academic. So around, well, at GVC, I go through that career fair and ask every booth at the career fair, are you looking for interns? I don't want an internship. I've got a pile of students who are looking for internships for the summer. Give me every bit of information you have. I take it back to school. I put it all on a bulletin board. I make a big announcement that every internship that I could find at GDC is on this bulletin board. Go get them. And again, I tell them, I'm not going to give you an internship. I'm going to tell you about opportunities for internships. It's up to the kids to find their own internships. A lot of the big problem with those internships are they're not local, and these are primarily local kids. And they're looking for local internships. So if I've got a pocket full of cards, but it's March, April when they're all looking for internships, and I start getting feelers in May from a lot of companies looking, because you guys don't think summer starts until late May, June, but my kids are already gone by then. So in March, April, I will give you all the internships. Well, I've got 40 juniors coming up looking for...
I have 5 minutes.
Okay, I outed myself, Darius.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
You worked at Ireland.
I have a suggestion on that. So it's like, we do get recruiters coming to MIT a bit, but they're always just looking for programmers. And
yeah,
it's a huge mistake in the project management, because we have a lot of people that are really good at QA, a lot of people really good at production management, and so.
So ironically, we're in Cambridge and we've only hired WPI graduates so far. I don't know why that is. We've had very good luck just getting WPI interns. We've never figured out how to tap into the MIT community.
Oh, say hi. Right here.
We'd love to have an avenue for it. One thing I just wanted to add, I love the speed dating idea around it.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Great idea. The other thing that I think could help, though, is help people that are in the company formation stage, because we do have all this innovation here, and there could be a lot more at the postmortems and just in the community in general in terms of really focusing on innovative business plans, tapping into new distribution channels,
yeah,
new interface devices, things like that.
Last year, Adil, before he started up Conduit, had a meeting just for video game entrepreneurs, basically.
I think we should do more of them.
And that was really great. We should do it again this year sometime.
But not just once a year. I mean, I think that there should be, that's great, but there should be a general theme.
I think
leverage
good,
innovation.
I think with all these things, it's good to do it like every now and then if there's the interest, you know, increase the frequency slowly until all of a sudden it's a monthly thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I find it's generally better than trying to like find a sponsor for a meeting that may never materialize.
So one thing I would like to point out we did some stuff with the local, with Massachusetts state politicians, as well as City of Boston. Over the last year, we've been trying to meet with more politicians and kind of inform them that, you know, oh yeah, you're the state rep from Cambridge. Do you realize you have, you know, several hundred million dollars worth of employers in your community that make games? you know, talk. If you find yourself, you know, in the same town as your local state reps, community meetings. Go in, introduce yourselves, tell them what you do for a living. People don't have any clue what it's like to make video games, you know. And I try to tell them, look, we're a clean, quiet industry. We pay ridiculously well. Somebody did do a survey, Boston area. Average salary in the video game industry in Boston is over $70,000, maybe closer to
$80,000.
You know, point being, we're paying people well in a quiet industry that doesn't pollute. You know, when you think about video games, think about promoting us.
We
not finding
money
ways to raise
members. We do find them money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like you need a press kit. You need a press. You need some sort of coordinated.
Yeah, I mean, some cities do have. I mean, some areas do have like a loose trade association with a website and things like that.
This is what they're asking. City of Boston wants to know what can they do to help us.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and some of what we talked about is that kind of cross promotion, promote Boston as a destination for video games, but also, there are, you know, we may as well. The movie industry is really effective at getting money.
Yeah.
From the state. And one real great little victory, and unfortunately the law failed before the end of the thing, but in the Senate this year, right before the State House stopped, you know, doing things for the rest of the year, we actually got an amendment passed that the movie industry tax credit law that they were have been talking about for a year, they added video games to that. To that law as an additional way to get credits. You know, you have to basically spend $500,000 on making games in building studios in Boston, and they were going to allow, you know, 20% tax credit in Massachusetts on that kind of number. So it's going to be, that's the sort of thing that we've been trying to do. It failed ultimately this year, but it's the kind of thing where if you have an opportunity to be at all political, that's, you know, that's the sort of thing that you can help with.
All right, so Christian, and then I'll say a couple words, and then we got to end.
Yeah, I was going to say those blessings with simply that, yeah, I mean, long term, I do think it is good to bring more companies here. The more companies that are here, the more jobs there are, the more, you know, that's a lot of, I have a lot of friends from San Francisco. This company failed to this company. You know, there was a lot more job security on a more macro sense,
right?
So I do think it's a positive thing. Beyond that, I think actually getting jobs here, I think the big trick is calling out our strengths and mitigating our weaknesses. The strengths really are the educational institutions around the area. They really, really, truly are. That and the general tech industry. And the weaknesses really are just the extremely high cost of living and everything that compared to all parts of the country. Those
except
can be mitigated by going, what?
Except for California.
Except for California, but it's even still, you know, if you look at, you know, there's even, well, it's a country that's short, so it is still high compared to
a lot of we can't do anything.
So,
I think it would be wrong to put a spin on the weather here. That would be evil.
So, I mean, in any case, the big issue that as a company that 30 CEOs has had as far as hiring is that there's been a large number of entry-level talent in the area. If we need an entry-level designer, programmer, artist, whatever, no problem. That's the game. If we want people to actually experience, not just because of tech, but experience in the game industry, that's been our core struggle. And that's actually why most of the talent so far in the company, which we wanted at the core of the company to all be people with experience in the game industry and the mobile industry, it was all came from somewhere else because the long-term, you know, 10, 20 years experience in the industry doesn't really exist here in the same way it does in other areas.
Yeah.
So that is our big weakness. And so we're finding in terms of HR, in terms of recruiting, most of our experienced talent coming from elsewhere, most of our entry level people we can get.
So, and a long-term solution to that problem is just to keep people here, yet in 5 years, the problem is solved, or more or less. I mean, if we can keep people here for long enough, it's going to be easier to find experienced people because people have experienced people. Thank you everybody for coming out and talking about this. Send me notes, send me ideas, like whatever I want to talk about this forum. We'll keep talking about it. Maybe we can actually start using the IGDA forums for the Boston Champions to talk about this or whatever. So.